Hello, and welcome back to another episode of K-Pop Cosmos. I'm your host, Freya, and joining me once again is our lovely Tracy. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. And today we also have another lovely guest. Welcome, Mark, to our show. How are you doing, Mark?
I am doing great. I am very excited to talk about K-pop. You have no idea.
This is so exciting.
All right. I'm actually really excited that I was able to do this podcast because I've been a fan of K-pop for over 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as there's the internet, I will find weird things to be into. So
is that not all of us? Isn't that why we're all friends?
Yeah. We all have weird interests, or not so weird interests, as we all find out through the internet. So today we are going to be talking about a group that is near and dear to my heart because they are one of my intro groups to K-pop. And that is SHINee.
안녕하세요, 미나는 SHINee입니다.
So SHINee is a boy group that debuted on May 25th in 2008. I actually found them the year later in 2009, so I was really close to their debut time. SHINee is from SM, which is one of the big three companies over in Korea. And they are, in fact, still active. So you can kind of see the evolution of K-pop through watching their videos and just like the styles and the hair. It just, you can really see how things have changed by looking at them. And they're one of like, they're considered second generation K-pop because they're not the first ones, but they're, you know, they're right after. We're currently in the third generation. So, without further ado, the members of SHINee, the leader is Onu. His real name is Lee Jin-ki. He is leader and main vocalist. He's actually older than me, so he's not a little baby. It makes me happy. Yeah, I'm always happy when I find like a group that the members are close to my age or they're older than me because it doesn't make me feel so old.
That's why I like 80s groups. I never have to worry.
Yeah. Also, there is Ki. His real name is Kim Ki-bum. He's the lead rapper, dancer, and vocalist. I actually found SHINee kind of through him in a sense, but not really, because he was in a show that I still love to go back and watch, and it's called the We Got Married. He was in the Global Edition, so he was with I believe she was a Japanese celebrity, and it's just cute because they make like fake couples, married couples out of them, and then they do like married couple things. It's kind of adorable because, you know, they don't really date. So it's just kind of fun to see them in that
atmosphere. Basically, like, it's kind of like Big Brother, but like you're married. All these people put into a house.
It's just them. They get to move into their own like married house, and then they go and they take wedding photos, and she gets to pick out a wedding dress, and he gets to pick out like his suit and stuff. It's all lots of cute little things, but they're also really awkward around each other because they've never met each other. It's cute. And then we also have Min-ho. His birth name is Choi Min-ho. He's also a rapper, vocalist, and he's a visual. Let's see. Then we have Taemin. Taemin's real name is Lee Taemin. So I'm very happy with. They don't really, a lot of them don't use stage names, so it's just easy to remember who they are. And then there was Jonghyun. He was the main vocalist of the group. He was actually the same age as me. His birthday's only like 10 days away from mine. Just kind of, yeah. And we'll talk about more about him later. So that's the entire group. It's now only 4 members. But yeah, they're still going strong. So what do you guys think of SHINee? At least what you've seen.
I thought they were really interesting, to be honest. They have very specific sounds per album. You know, their genre is a mix match, and a lot more R&B, because obviously that's what they were designed for. But you can hear the differentiation through each comeback tour of how they've progressed and evolved as artists. And I found that really endearing for the group. I thought that was really amazing for such young men to be able to take hold of the career and take hold of the music and put it in their direction.
Mm-hmm.
And they're quite westernized in their music tastes as well. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know. When I got into K-pop, I was definitely more into the girl groups, not necessarily the boy groups at all. But SHINee was definitely one of the groups that I paid attention to. That song, their song Replay, when I discovered that song, I must have listened to it like 1,000 times. I love that song. It's probably my favorite song by them at all. So, definitely learning a little bit more about them for the podcast. I definitely listened to a few of their albums, and I'm definitely more of a bigger fan of them now. Now that I've seen like their different styles through the albums. So, I wouldn't say that I'm the official fan. Is it Shawol?
Chowls, yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm there yet, but my goodness, I love Replay. I can play that song constantly forever.
That is a really catchy one. That's the one that I kind of listen to most when, Freya sent us the list of information. And I was like listening to a couple of different songs, but I kept going back to it because it was like, yeah, I like this one. A little bop. It's quite nice. I can listen to this a bit more. And I found myself putting it on my
playlist.
Playlist. And I was like, oh, that's nice. I like it.
Yeah, it kind of gave me like, I don't know how to say it, like old school kind of feel with R&B, kind of like 90s R&B kind of vibe.
Very 90s R&B.
Mm-hmm, and
I love that. So I agree. I love Replay. I also...
I was growing up and I was into R&B. That's why it kind of hit with me since I'm a little bit older. It was very familiar. It was a really nice... It's a very easy transition into the band if you start there. I think if you're someone who likes R&B and you're kind of, you know, my generation of born in the 80s, grown up in the 90s, that's definitely the kind of thing that would be the easiest to get you into the K-pop, I think, especially with the boy groups.
Boy groups, with how K-pop's designed, girl groups really are more designed to attract male listeners. So I completely understand why you don't listen to many boy groups, Mark, because, you know, it's their marketing and whatnot.
Now, you know, when you watch the videos, there's a lot of, you know, they're looking lovingly into the camera and winking in the camera. And, you know, they're really like playing up to the female audience, which is great, but I'm not a female. So their videos don't really work for me. So in order for me to like really put a boy band on my playlist, they really have to have a really good song. Like it's the music that's going to draw me in. And SHINee definitely has amazing music. Their songs are just like, some of their songs are just flat out just stunning. And I've gone through different iterations of SHINee love. You know, like I first discovered Replay and then I didn't really care that much about them through the other songs. I kind of missed out on a few other songs. But then I discovered View like years later, and I'm like, oh my god, this group is really good. So you know, different times in my life I've been drawn into the SHINee universe.
Yeah, like they have some of those like little gem of songs that really kind of just stand out, I should say. And I'm always, with how long they've been going, I'm always so amazed that they are still so popular. Like they have had a steady career through the entire time. Like they got their fans, and then
it shows because of their growth through their music. You know what I mean? You get a lot of these bands in general, not just in K-pop, but you know, and they come and go. The newest flavor, where these guys, they dedicate it. Unlike a lot of the other K-pop stuff that I've looked into, they're not just banging things out one after the other to have content. They're actually doing their you know, putting out their record, then they're going out and doing their tours, then they're re-putting the record out in Japanese, doing their tours. They're really well known over this side of the world. They were one of the first, something I found out today, they were the first K-pop band to perform at Abbey Road, which is where the Beatles are famous for. You know, that's huge. So they have that pull and that appeal that gives them the longevity that a lot of the other groups wouldn't have.
Yep. I kind of feel like with that, it also comes with they were able to write their own music. Jonghyun, he wrote the lyrics to many of their songs, as well as other artists' songs. And I feel like when these artists are given creative liberty and just can actually do stuff, unlike having the company or someone else write their music for them and their songs, I feel like those are the groups that last, and then the ones that it's written for them, they disappear. So it really is like, it is amazing. Some of their songs that they have written. The song View that you mentioned, Mark, it was the most watched K-pop music video in the world.
Oh, really?
So it's, for K-pop really is one of those, like, it's bigger than you think it is, but it's kind of like a weird underground type of a thing, because there are so many people who love K-pop in the world, but we just don't talk about it, especially over here in like America. I think I've said this before, because people give you weird looks when you say you like K-pop. They're like, why would you like Korean music or Japanese music? I'm like, because it's good.
that is a thing as well. Like I've started to notice over here in Ireland, as and I've said it on the show before, we have a huge cultural following of anime and, you know, anything Eastern. And K-pop is a big thing of it. And, you know, you would have a lot of people who knew and know a lot about it here. And there are like, they're young men and women, young boys and girls, you know, who are in their mid-teens, early 20s, and they know so much. They know all the bands and they know all the songs, and they're pointing it in the direction of things that they think you're going to like. And I think that's amazingly liberating here. And it'd be amazing to see that kind of ripple, you know, across the pond to you guys, because it's a shame that people look at you strangely, because, you know, there's some quite great music. If you don't even have to know the lyrics, listen to the music.
Like a whole buttles crap about, you know, like I don't understand Italian, but I don't need to understand Italian to know that Pavarotti singer. Like, I can listen to that, it's fine. I don't understand Spanish, but reggaeton is a huge musical genre now. It's everywhere. So it's fine. I can listen to that and not understand what they're saying. So it's the same thing with K-pop. You know, it's, their voices are a part of the music. So even if I don't understand the lyrics, their vocals kind of incorporates itself within the music that I'm listening to. So one of the other things I love about it is that it's, you can't pinpoint it. It kind of reminds me of back in the day, and I'm way older than a lot of K-pop fans. Like, I'm an old man. But when I was growing up in the 80s, you know, you can turn on radio and you can listen to, you know, Michael Jackson or Cyndi Lauper or Madonna or Phil Collins. It's all pop music, but it's different varieties. And that's one of the things I love about K-pop is that it doesn't matter if it's a, if it's quote unquote K-pop, the music is pop. It's just fun. And it reminds me of that, the good old days where it didn't really have to have a label on it. It's just good music.
I agree with you completely. Like, one of the songs I really liked when I was going in was Lucifer. And it was like, it was such a cool vibe. And again, it reminded me of the Backstreet Boys, but it reminded me of something a bit more, you know, R&B heavy. And it was such a cool thing to just listen to, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't have to understand. That's the thing that people, you know, really have to understand. You don't need to understand the lyrics to love this genre of music.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, how many English songs do you actually listen to the lyrics and actually really know what they're talking about?
Realistically, nowadays, how many songs that are released have more than four or five words in them anyway?
You know what? Are they actually talking about something, or are they talking about just going to the club, which is more than likely what it is, or sex, you know, one of the two. Those songs don't have substance in English, or you've listened to a song a million times in English, and then you read the lyrics and you go, oh, I didn't know that's what they were saying. And it doesn't, because when you listen to music, it's not the lyrics that you actually focus on. It's the actual, you know, music, the notes, the, you know, the crescendos and the just the changes in the music and the instrumentation. And that's what your mind actually latches onto. It doesn't really focus on the words for the most part. And like, I have listened to, and it's not SHINee, but we'll talk about them. I listened to a song from a group, and I was just kind of doing normal stuff. One of my hobbies, I was painting, and then I started to cry, and I had no idea why I was crying. I was bawling heavily, and I was like, what is going on? What's wrong with me? And so I looked at what song it was. I'm like, okay. So then I looked up the lyrics and I'm like, what? And it was more of just like the passion that the artist had put into their song that it connected with me, even though I wasn't fully paying attention to the song. I was doing something else, but actually like it touched me. And that's what music is. It's something that like resonates within you, and you just need to feel their sincerity in the song. Or, you know, their passion and whatnot. And that's why a lot of classical music's really good, because you can feel the passion that the composer put into the music. And that's why I love listening to, like, old stuff like Beethoven, Mozart, you know, and I love listening to operas, too. And it's because you can really feel what the intent was and the passion that they had for their music. And
music is meant to touch your soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sound is creative. It's to touch your soul. It's to bring you on a journey from start to finish, from high to low, from happy to sad. And you know, even just using notes, even just using you know, one string sentence, you can just invoke so much in people that and then by adding passionate people who are writing their own music, you can feel the difference. Like, look at any Queen song. I know I'm digressing slightly. Freddie Mercury was a genius, and he was a lyrical genius. And you listen to majority of his songs, and you will feel where he was going with it. I find listening to K-pop, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
You're brought on a journey. You're not just there bopping your head because it's cute or it's fun or it's whatever. You're being taken somewhere. And I think that's what's beautiful about this particular genre.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the songs are definitely journey-wise, where they take you one place, and then other songs, they just drop you in one spot and be like, here you are. Either you like it or don't like it. And chances are, I'm probably going to like it. It's like, oh, this is where we are? Okay, I like this.
Yeah, and also with K-pop, they, with, I'm going to go into like their music videos. Their music videos, they, not all of them, but a lot of them, they have, what are they called? They're like episodes. They feel like a drama because it's they build up a story within the music video. And with SHINee, they actually have one. I cannot remember for the life of me what the name of the song is, but I remember the music video. It's really long. They're in a gang, and then one of their members gets kidnapped by an alternate gang. So then they go to save him, and it's just, and they have this gang war in the music video. It was actually
Sherlock or something, is it? Is that the one where they're all like in black and white?
I think so. But like I said, they've been around for a long time, and there's a lot of music videos that are like that. And then there's even some groups where all of their music videos tell a story and they connect to each other. And it's just, it is fantastic. Like the ideas and the storylines that they put into their, along with their music, like you said, it's a journey that they bring you on. And
they SHINee made me cry today because, as you know, I'm not the most overly emotional crier person in the group.
But
I was watching the video of when the four guys were singing just after the main singer passed on, and I know we're going to talk about this, but they finished this beautiful song, and then they all stood there in silence, and they put a rose in front of their microphones, and it just, and again, I didn't know what they were singing, but my heart broke, and I was sitting in my mum and dad's room, and I was just bawling my eyes out for heartbreak for these four guys after losing their best friend. But it was done so beautifully and with such reverence and respect that you could feel that in the lyrics, even to the moment when they stopped.
Yeah.
And you know you've got a good band.
Mm-hmm. And that still makes me cry. Now you're going to make me cry.
It's your fault.
But it's really important to know this because it was something that really affected them, and it affected their entire fan base and honestly the whole K-pop industry, because he was, like I said, he's my age. He was 27, and like I was, as I said, I'm a big fan. I'm actually a Shoal as well. I've been one for freaking years. I think that was the first fan group that I actually joined, because their fans are really nice. They're very non-confrontational. They're very, very kind. They're kind of like in the background type of fans. Like, and it really, I didn't know it was going to hit me as hard as it did. Oh god.
So will you explain what happened? Unfortunately, the main singer had some mental health issues. Because of the stigma around that from where he was born and grew up, he wasn't allowed, or couldn't, or maybe didn't feel that he was able to express the things he needed to. And unfortunately, he took his own life. And one, as a Korean, and two, as a man, that was very shocking to everybody. And then to throw in that there was mental health issues, that again was another, you know, twist of the knife, especially for fans. And just this young, beautiful man who was talented and who was amazingly kind to his friends, to his fan base, didn't have the facilities to ask for the help he needed. But by the act itself, he created a conversation in the K-pop community for people to come along and discuss mental health. And through his loss, which people feel today, which I felt today for the first time, being somebody who struggles myself, it was his parting gift. And that is a legacy that will never, ever be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you speak, Tracy. You're so much more eloquent than I am.
Definitely.
Yeah. Tearing up.
And that's okay. And it's true. I was looking at an interview, and a guy was talking about Shiny, and it was giving their history. And he got halfway through when he started to break down himself. And he continued on doing the video till the end. And then at the end, he posted an extra 2 minutes of himself speaking. Speaking how much Shiny as a band connected to him, how much each individual member connected, and how he was able to then turn around and go, I actually feel these things too. And it gave him the strength to go and speak to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our heroes are. Our heroes are the ones that inspire us to do things we don't think we can. Mm-hmm. And even through loss and grief and sadness, he gave so many people an amazing gift. And that's another layer of K-pop now. Because people aren't afraid anymore. Because they have this avenue to talk. And the boys continued on as best they could. And, you know, and they spread the love still. And that's why they've maintained as long as they have. It's because they have that inner strength. And you see that through their music.
Now, were you guys surprised at all that they were still going to be continuing as four so quickly after the loss of, you know, one of the main lead people in the group?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just gonna say I was stunned at the fact that they continued on like so quickly afterwards.
I wasn't, but like I said, I've been following them since essentially their debut.
Yeah.
I think they continued on for a variety of reasons. One is, well, they have contracts, and two is with, I think it was kind of something to like memorialize or to honor Jonghyun, because he was so passionate about their group and music in general. And you know, he, before in the show I watched, his dream was to continue his career, his being an idol, being in music forever. He wanted that, and so I think in a way they're doing it for him, because it was so important to him, and he wouldn't want them to, you know, break up or anything. Also, another reason is work keeps your mind off of grief. It really does. And they still, whenever he's brought up in an interview, they break down and cry every time. And in the video I showed with their tour, they were doing like, it was kind of like in memory, loving memory of him, that song that they're performing, and they're also sharing it with their fans. And, you know, so they're trying to like, I guess, connect with their fans with their grief, and, you know, to try to remember him and his life. And his dreams as well. And like I said, I'm not as eloquent as Tracy is with speaking. But I really think that because of their bonds, they continued on. It's kind of like, it's what he would have wanted type of a thing, for them.
I think you said it quite well, honey. I think you really did. Okay. I think you're completely right in what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, for one,
we've seen it over here, you know, here in Ireland, we had a very big boy band, Boyzone, and one of the main singers, Stephen, he passed away. And, you know, there was talk about how that happened and how it didn't happen and whatnot. But the boys continued because they had to. We seen it there only 2 years ago with Chester from Linkin Park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You continue on because you know that's what the person wanted. They gave themselves to the music, and through that music you're going to grieve as best you can together as a group.
And Mark, you said you were going to say something.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh wait, no, I remember. Yeah, so then when they decided they were going to continue on as four, you know, I was a little surprised that it happened so soon, but I can definitely understand that just for the reasons that you both just listed, why they would continue as four. What I didn't expect was that the next song that they dropped as a four-member group was such a banger. It was such a good song. And it's like, I feel sad that there's only four of them, but oh my God, did they come back hard with the newest song. What was the name of that song? It's, Oh, I can't remember the name of it now.
It'll come back to you.
It'll come back to me, yeah.
But I think that is, again, the whole thing with K-pop, isn't it? You come to an end of something and then you start something new. And I've noticed that with K-pop, with everything, that no matter what band we're looking at, no matter whether it's the end of somebody leaving, somebody passing away, or continuing on as you were originally, every time they come back bigger, stronger, harder. And definitely these guys, they pulled it out of the bag. And how they did it, I don't know. I don't know how I would have been able to, you know, continue the way they have. But it's made them stronger. And it's made their music, I think, a little bit more raw. If that's the right word, I think they've got a much more raw sounding to them now. And I think that's passion as well as grief.
Yeah. So the name of the song is called Good Evening for all of the Shiny fans out there. I know all Shiny fans are listening to this going, oh, you are such a moron. How do you not know this song? Well, yeah, Good Evening was a song that they came back with. And I was like, oh, wow, they're not messing around. They're in it to win it. And I also want to say it's really cool that SM kind of gives them the opportunity to pursue their solo careers and kind of let them really experiment and get out there and try new things that's kind of outside of the envelope of K-pop. Because I think when they do that and they express themselves as individual artists, when they come back together as a group, it just makes it a lot stronger.
And it also, it's a good thing as well, because as you know, with South Korea, they are required to have to do their military service. And so I believe, one or two of the members are currently in the military. One went into the Marines.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so they're gone for a year and a half, I think. I think they reduced it from 2 years to a year and a half. But yeah, it really helps, because then the one member who's not doing their military service, they have their own solo career to fall back on, or their solo projects. And then when they go in, you know, and they also, they can, as long as the music was written before they went into the military, they can release music while in the military. So, it's kind of, And I think that was a recent change. I don't remember exactly. That whole military. Yeah, like they could stockpile songs and albums and then be like, all right, we're going to be gone for a year and a half, but we're still going to be releasing songs for you. Which a lot of the groups, well, I know of some groups have done that. But yeah, I think Key and Onu. I think Key and Onu are the ones who, or is it Minho? I know that Key was supposed to have gone into the military. But yeah, and can I just say their comeback album, The Story of Light. I love that album. And that's also where Good Evening is from. I don't know. It was a great comeback for them. And I'm trying to like move on because I don't want to go back to depressing news. But with solo careers, I love Taemin's solo career because he does live up to his nickname of what did they call him, or they used to, Asian Michael Jackson.
Because of the flicky moves.
Very Michael Jackson-esque, and I do like his solo stuff as well. And he's also going to be in a new group in October, which is also through SM, but we can talk about that at a later time if you guys want to, or I can just slightly mention it from what I know. What do you guys want?
We'll talk about it when they come out. Maybe when they drop, we could be like, hey, we're first on the scene with this.
Yes, I like that.
All right.
We'll do that. Few other podcasts we got here first.
All right. We will do that in October then. That's when they're supposed to drop. Yeah. All right. So what did you think of their music videos, like the style in the music videos and how it progressed? But do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. So there was one video that really kind of stuck out to me, and that was the Lucifer video.
My favorite.
It's very artistic. Like, they really went for it as far as like style goes. Like, their hairstyles are all pretty wild. The video, you could tell a lot of money went to it. Fashion choice was very forward thinking, to say the least. It was really tough to see the cute little guys that did Replay in that video. Like, it definitely seemed like they stepped it up like a couple of notches, which is fine. And I couldn't really concentrate on the song because the visual was just so striking. But then the video after that I watched was Your Number, the dance version of it. And there they all showed up and they're all wearing like slim, dark suits with patterns. And they're kind of dancing inside of a cube. And it's very classy and it's a very sweet song. And it just blew my mind that this was the same group, because that flip from one style to the other was it's a complete 180, but yet it fit them so well. So their progression throughout the different music videos is staggering to me. That's definitely why I want to say they're one of the top guy groups that I've ever seen, you know, in K-pop. They're the way that they could mold themselves to these different genres and still fit in there. It's staggering. It's something that you don't see a lot in pop music, and I haven't come across it in K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say very similar. As I said earlier on, they have very distinctive styling, but you can see from video to video, album to album, their progression and their change into the type of music they're using for that particular song or video or album. And Lucifer is my favorite. That video, I just love it. I just think it's so well done. And you're right with the artist, with the how artistic it is and how the style choices are on point. And it's just a really good, really well manufactured, put together video. But you're just absorbed by it. Like you keep going back to watch it again because you've missed something. Somebody's like the corner of somebody's hair, and then you see something behind them, or you know, and it was just for me. I just thought that was amazing. From looking at some of their more kind of cutesy, and I know they're not cutesy, but there's some of the more less intense videos, I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, they done one video, and again, I'm sorry, true fans, I'm sorry, but they did something very 80s, and they had this really high pastel-y, suit-y thing going on while they were dancing, and I was like, I kind of digging this too.
Oh, is the one of one video?
Probably. I'm going to say yes because you'll know better.
Oh my goodness. I love their different themes. I like when they kind of go dark and then they go back to like the colorful pastel-y stuff. Kind of like Married to the Music. That one really, it doesn't seem like it'd be like a Halloween type song, but it is. Like the music videos, like they drink absinthe and then all of a sudden like weird stuff starts happening.
Marriage of the Music is the one where they have the kind of you're gonna probably kill me for saying this, the start of it has the like the red writing on it, isn't it? But it's like from the Rocky Horror writing from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
yeah exactly.
Yep.
And I love that. And then like their fashion, you can see the shift from like early 2000s to the 2010s or non.
The hair. It's all about the hair, man.
The hair. Oh like, my gosh. I remember.
Show us hair.
I remember when I first got into the K-pop, all of the boy groups, everyone had that like long in the back, kind of wavy, messy looking hair, or you know, it's sticking out everywhere like an anime character. It's always what it reminds me of. Like that was the look back then, and then it kind of like shifted slightly, and I'm happy that it's gone over to like more of a mature look of masculine kind of. It's short, it's not long anymore. Wearing the nice suits, and it took a while. Like I said, you can really see the trends moving. And when I say everyone was wearing it, I mean like even in the TV shows, everyone's hair was like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, even like the male leads in shows look like that. But now they're all like suave suits, you know, looking sharp. And it's like, it's very interesting to go to a group like SHINee because of how long they've been around. How long is it? Like 13 years, 2018, about 11 years, 11, 12 years. And so you can watch like the decade, you know, you can see it through them, through just their music videos in general. Because when people think of K-pop, they think of like the old K-pop of like the crazy anime looking hair and the crazy style, futuristic-y kind of styles and whatnot. But now K-pop's not really like that. It's more like Mamamoo, like we talked about them.
Yeah, Mamamoo, we love them.
Yeah. It's more like, their styles are more like that. It's more like, yeah, you could wear that on the street and people would be like, yeah, okay, that's attractive looking suit, or, you know, and not always, because right now I believe someone has rainbow hair, but but you do. It kind of reconnected to like reality and less futuristic outworldly looking stuff. And it's just interesting, and like I said, I love when you can see their growth and their development. And you can also see them lose, like, the cute little, like, you know, the baby fat you have on your face as when you're young. They had such cute, chubby, brown faces. And then you can watch them progressively through the music videos grow up. It's so cute. I'm sorry. It is. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like watching someone grow up, but you don't in like fast motion, because you can just go through and you watch all the music videos. You're like, oh my gosh. And now you're super attractive or so, you know. But like,
they all never long buttoned. Oh yeah.
Everyone never long buttoned.
I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh. It's adorable. And then it's, I don't know. Like I said, you also, with K-pop, you get connected with these groups because of content that they put out. Because also SHINee, I couldn't remember the name of it, so I didn't provide it, but I remember the name of it now. They did this contest, a worldwide contest, and it was called World Date with SHINee. So, excuse me. What they did was they had a contest that they put out, I believe, on their website, where you could win a trip over to South Korea to hang out with them for a week. And
surprise.
It was, so a girl from England won, a girl from the US won, and then there is like Thailand and Malaysia. Anyway, and they recorded it, and it's this cute show of these girls, and they got to hang out with Jonghyun and I believe Ki were the two members that they got to hang out with the most. And I mean, like, actually spend full days with these guys. So it was just, yeah, and it was cute because you don't really, I mean, we do get that over here, but not to that extent. Like,
oh, you get meet and greets that cost you $500-$600 to, you know, get a 2-second photograph and a handshake.
Yeah, or you go on a shopping trip where you get to go shopping with them, but they're not really paying attention to you, you know. Like, yeah. They're like, I'm here because I have a contract and I have to be here. Yeah, and these guys were actually like,
good, I won this. I want all of us. I want everything. You got to look at me. You make eye contact.
Yeah.
You're going home with your goddamn hand.
Yeah. So it was a cute show. And like, you could tell that these boys were actually excited to do this. Like, they actually looked like they were having fun in every single episode of it. Like, every single time they were there to hang out with these girls. And it was just fun. And also, these boys are multilingual. One of the members, I believe it's Ki, he knows Japanese and English, and he's fluent in both, as well as Korean. And it's very common to have at least one or two English speakers, like, in these groups. You know, I believe they said that the U.S. in music industry is the largest music industry in the world, I believe, or market, something like that. And so they do want to break out into the U.S., or break into the U.S., I guess.
Well, they seem to be, you know, they seem to be one of a few K-pop bands that are actually known in the U.S. and in certain parts of Europe, you know? Like I said earlier, they have a huge following in the United Kingdom. So, you know, over in England, they have this, like, this huge fan base. And I think I was, again, looking at something on YouTube with it, and there was something like, I don't know, it was 3,000 or 5,000 people heard that they were going to be in this specific hotel, and they, like, stood outside singing. Oh, and they were singing Korean songs. And
yeah.
I was like, that's amazing. And I think they came out and waved and all that jazz. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, one of my favorite artists, I'm not going to say her name right now because we'll talk about her later. Hyuna, actually. I'll just say it's Hyuna. It's the girl who was in Gangnam Style. Okay. So she actually, when her fans were outside of her hotel, she bought them pizza. And she brought them pizza herself.
That's a good person right there.
So yeah, how many fans are we talking about here? Like, how many pizzas are we talking about here?
A lot. She got a lot of pizzas. Like, and so
from now on, I'm going to base my K-pop fandom on those who feed us, okay? So I will go if they're going to provide pizza. I am happy. I will be there.
Yeah. Oh, also, a boy group for their fans, they do this all the time, though. They actually got a food truck for their fans, and everything was free. So they paid for this food truck for their fans who are waiting outside for their fan meets. And then they also provide food inside for the fan meets. Like, these, it really is, like we said before, it is like a relationship between these idols and their fans. And you know it's true. Those Korean fans get so much stuff, you know, and it for free from these guys or in girls groups. It is amazing what they do. And it's hard not to get attached to these people. It really is. Okay,
well, I am completely hooked now. I will listen to your music if you feed me. So this is it. I'm all in. When are we going to South Korea to listen to some K-pop? Go on tour. See who feed us the best. That's a new podcast.
Actually, a lot of these groups do tours in Europe. Like, they're over there at least once a year.
I know. But do, like, they feed the Europeans as well?
I don't know about that.
That's why we're going to South Korea.
All right, we're going to Korea for the free food.
Yeah, always.
Oh, no. So, any final thoughts on Shiny, the boys, or just anything? Like,
I think they have a very nice band to get into, as I said at the start. As a child of the 80s, growing up in the 90s, their sound, their earlier stuff, and even beyond, it's very reminiscent to stuff you would have listened to. So it's not too much of a step out of your comfort zone to listen to these guys. And then as their music progresses, they have some beautiful, beautiful songs. And then they have some right knee jerk and let's go dancing. We're in a club, stuff you guys. So yeah, I think these guys are lovely. And I think they have mass appeal for male and female fans. And now that we have a male person on board with us, we can ask them. It's not just us two creeping, like.
You know, I will say that, like, even though their songs are of different genres, they have a variety of different songs. One of the things that I really took away from learning more about them was their stage presence. They performed a song called Everybody, which I would assume, if you're a Shiny fan, you've probably seen this performance like 1,000 times, a million times maybe. Mm-hmm. But I had never seen it before. They did a stage show for the song Everybody, and it, like, the song is good, but their performance of it was staggering. They, you know, as much credit as I want to give them for the amazing songs, Replay, One of One, Married to the Music, like, those are definitely my jams. That their dance performances for their stage shows, they're next level. They are next level, especially Taemin. Taemin is one of those dancers that, or he's one of those singers that, you know, he's great artist, great performer, but when you see him dance, incorporate that with the songs, it's staggering. You don't really come across that in Western music a lot.
He's so good at the pop and love.
Yep. He's definitely one of the members that, I mean, they're all talented, but the fact that he has such free range and he really pushes the envelope of where his songs and his music wants to go, he's the guy that's going to kind of he's going to take K-pop to a whole nother level just by himself. I feel like they kind of let him do what he wants, and the choices that he makes are bold. And at some point, everyone else is just going to be following him. So, yeah, Taemin is definitely moved up the ranks to being one of my favorite members.
Awesome.
He is.
You'll have to keep our eyes out now and see.
Yeah.
Ah, Taemin. Asian Michael Jackson still cracks me up, that nickname.
Asian Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean. So
Michael Jackson, mid-90s?
Yeah. 80s, 90s, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, SHINee, they're one of these groups that their stages are always so well thought out, and it's beautiful. I love watching to know a real good group, especially if you want to go see their concerts. You have to check out their live stages online. I do that with Western artists. I do that with everybody, because you don't want to, you know, spend money on a group that's just going to walk around and go, eh, yeah, you know, on stage for hours, you know, and it's because, or they can't actually sing live. I'm not going to say which artist that is in the U.S.
Go on, say it. We won't judge you.
All right. Well, she currently has a show in Vegas, and she shaved her head, talking about Britney Spears, the lip-syncing queen.
Also chilling for the win.
Yeah, I mean, I was a Britney Spears fan when I was a kid, but then I found out that she lip syncs at all of her concerts. I was not happy. So,
how very dare she?
I know, right? But I love, like, honestly, I love when their voices crack, because then you can hear that they are singing live. They are that good, and people make mistakes. These guys are human. They make mistakes, and it makes me happy when they make, I mean, I don't want them making mistakes all the time, don't get me wrong, but it makes me happy that they actually put so much effort into their craft that they are singing live. And when they get colds or something, stuff happens. And then you can actually hear that, yes, it's real. They're not, you know, lip syncing. And SHINee is definitely one of those groups that they live up to their nicknames. Like, we give K-pop groups nicknames all the times, but the princes of K-pop, it fits with them. They work so hard. Their stages are always fantastic. They've been through a lot. They have grown a lot. That you can see that through them. And I love, and their fan base is really nice. They're very nice to their fans. Like, honestly, very nice to their fans. They're also one of these groups that actually seems legitimate with their personalities, because I know that they try to give them, like, personalities to appeal to them.
Yeah, you're the cute one, and you're the funny one, and then you're going to be the smart one, and then you're the quiet one.
Yeah, but they don't really have that here. They just seem like guys, you know? Yeah. Also, I would like to be, I'm also very happy that this group, they came out that Jonghyun did in fact have a relationship with an actress. So they date, and it didn't hurt them. So
I think that, again, and as you said, that's a big thing for K-pop anyways. Oh, wow, he's not actually single. And it's like, no, I'm not. I've got a partner. So suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah, and I love SHINee. They push the envelope with a lot of things. I've been happy to be with their group since essentially the beginning. I guess I was like a year off, but they are very much a group you can start off with. If you're a guy, maybe just watch the live performances. There's a lot less staring sexually into the camera, like I'm seducing you. Just don't watch the music videos and you'll be fine. Just watch like the lives and stuff, because, you know.
Hey, some guys might like that. And guys, if you do, totally watch them.
Okay. Straight guys who don't like that, don't watch the music videos. Guys who do like that, go ahead and watch the music videos all you want.
I would just like to say if you are, you know, if you're wondering about SHINee, if you want to, you know, get to learn a little bit more about SHINee, I would definitely start with the replay. And then I would move into One of One. I dare anyone to start playing One of One and not start bopping along. That song is, it sounds like it should be the beginning of a 90s sitcom TV show. It just has that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air kind of bop to it. It's so good. And if you like the song, then watch the video. It's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to go ahead and end it with our Princess of K-pop, SHINee. But next time we are talking about a girl group, and they are a couple of angels, and you should know who they are, Tracy, because you told me.
My niece loves them.
Loves them. So we are going to be talking about AOA next time. Our little Aces of Angels. All right. And before that, I'm going to have our K-pop word of the day. Technically, it's two words, but I don't care. So this is what it is.
You can do what you want.
Do what I want. Anyway, so I'm going to be talking about what the big three is. So we use this a lot in K-pop. And Tracy, we've gone over this, I believe, once or twice. And Mark, you obviously know who the big three are, right?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. So for everyone who doesn't know, the big three, whenever someone says the big three, they are talking about, I like to call them the founding enterprises or companies of K-pop, because things are changing. But the big three is referring to SM Entertainment, JYP Entertainment, and YG Entertainment. The reason I refer to them more of like the founding companies of K-pop is because YG is, let's just say they're having some problems right now. Some legal problems. I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole
podcast. Thing.
We're not going to get into that. And some people are also now moving another company into the place instead of YG, and that's causing problems. So the big three are those three companies. And those three companies are, I believe SM came first. That company was started by one of the members, I believe, of So Taeji and the Boys, who was the father of K-pop, that group from the 90s. And then YG was created by first generation group HOT. And then JYP, he was also a first generation K-pop star, and he created his own company. So like I said, they're just more of the three founding companies, and it's always YG, SM, and JYP. And that's what it is. So now you know, when people say big three, that's what they're talking about. Also with the big three, if K-pop groups that come from those three companies seem to have a leg up on the smaller companies. I guess I can kind of understand why culturally it's kind of a, silver spoon. You're kind of born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You're from a prestigious company. So people are going to naturally look at your group more because you're from a well-known company. Otherwise, you're from a small, unknown company, and people are like, I don't know anything about this company. Why would I drink? Or, you know, why would I buy this product? It's like someone coming out with a cola, and they're like, which one would you prefer, Pepsi, Coke, or this random one? You're like, I'm going to go with Pepsi or Coke because I know the quality of the content that they produce, you know? So, yeah, that's essentially.
K-pop is just like pop.
K-pop is like pop.
I just want to say, I think it's amazing that there's a big three company, and they, you know, they spend years and money and time, you know, getting their acts ready for debut. And right now, the biggest K-pop group in the world is not from any of those companies, which I think is fantastic. It's like the little indie comic book creator that like blew out Marvel and DC with their one little book. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And that one little book has, I have been to one of their most recent concert. Let's just say there's a reason why they're blowing everyone out of the water. Oh my gosh. We'll talk about that later. Next episode, we're talking about AOA. So, this has been K-Pop Cosmos, and I'm Freya, and hope you guys have a good rest of your week.
Bye!
Bye!